wireless headphones. That'll be $200.
I'll use my Capital One Quicksilver card.
Now that's a hit. You used the Capital One Quicksilver card, which makes you the hero of every purchase. With Quicksilver, you earn unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere.
I wanted running music, but unlimited 1.5% cash back is pretty heroic.
Good instincts. Every hero needs a theme song. The Capital One Quicksilver card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news medias don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 25th day. Wow, 25th day of September already. Summer's gone. We're right into fall, folks, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance tonight, and we have a whole lot to get through tonight, so the fellow, our producer, the guy with that beautiful smile, none other than Kyle.
Hey, Pastor Ernie, good to be here tonight.
There you go. That's the big guy, Kyle. He's a tough one, boy. You don't fool with me when Kyle's around. Right, Kyle?
You got it, Pastor. I'm here to protect you.
All right, very good. Now, way out yonder, the legend, the Missouri legend, the backwoods Missouri legend, none other than the Parson Joe Larson.
Well, I'll go along with infamous, maybe, but anyway, a pleasure to be back with you.
All right.
Ready to go to work. We got a lot to do.
Boy, do we have a lot to talk. Here's how we're going to start. Little Lisa is really big time under the weather, big time ill, and so I've been praying for her. I prayed for her twice here in the air. And Joe, would you pray for her tonight? Hold little Lisa up. And all the folks out there listening with us, if you would join because
I want to add to Lisa, you've been down with the influenza, and a lot of people in my church and I guess your church are down with it. So I'm going to add all those with the influenza and all those out there listening, pray with me because you may be the next sick person that needs prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we know this time of year we humans suffer through those colds and flus and viruses that come around, and the older we get, the harder it is to fight off these attacks on the body. And we know especially the older you get, the more other health problems that you have that compound things. So we lift up Lisa tonight to you that she's struggling and fighting that, and all the others that are trying to handle the flu through this season, that, Lord, you would just watch over everyone, that you would bless them in every conceivable way, that you would help strengthen their bodies and help their bodies to fight off this virus and restore everyone back to their good health that you've given us, one of the wonderful blessings we have. And we just ask this in that precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You know, Lisa really belongs in the hospital, but she refuses to go. She's afraid of hospitals, and I can understand why. I can definitely understand why. How many people?
Yeah. A lot of people have had some bad, especially some of those that had COVID, went to the hospital, got locked up, and
never came home. We've had a number of them that
came
went
home,
to, right, and never came back. So and that's why. But praise the good Lord, she's you know, she's home by herself, but my wife and Heather and Elaine and the other ladies in the church have been going over there and seeing to her and taking care of her. So we just praise the good Lord for that.
Well, that's what good Christians do, right? We're all part of God's family, and we take care of each other.
Yeah, I am blessed to have a wife too. She fusses over me. I mean, I think she sometimes spoils me when I'm not feeling good. But anyhow, I praise the good Lord for having one.
Yeah. One that puts up with you, yes, you ought to be very thankful.
Yeah, I am. You're right. It's not easy.
Neither one of us are probably the easiest people to live with, I'm sure.
Yeah. You know, especially over the years, you know, going out in the pro-life ministry, you know, we were out there. I would often, just for preaching the gospel, I would get arrested. They would charge me with false charges. Every time we beat them, every single time in court, I beat them every single time. But my poor wife used to say in the mornings, "Are you going to go to jail again today?" I said, I hope not, but I may. Yeah. But anyhow.
Well, she also worried that you were going to get hurt because there have been times that you've had, you know, people attack you and tried to hit you with nightsticks and tried to shoot you.
I've been shot at several times, yeah. One guy tried to stab me in the eye. Yeah. Another one tried to run me over a couple times. One tried to I did get poisoned once, but it was just didn't kill me. And, it's been an interesting life. And
the wives have to live with that. I know a couple of times my wife, we were getting ready to go somewhere, and it's like, I suppose you're going to be your normal self and say exactly what you think, and yep, that's probably what I'll do. So you and I both have that problem.
Yeah. You know, it did my heart good, though, in a way, when we were there in Indiana and at that Obama thing, and they arrested all of the saints, and just sitting there watching them haul you and Alan Keyes and so many other guys away. And it was such an amazing thing how the Lord intervened in that, because what's her name? The woman from the one Roe v. Wade, the one that repented.
Senior moment.
Yeah, senior moment. But anyhow, the one that whole case was done over, my knees were literally sticking her in the back, and because they were pushed in, you know, and when they arrested her, as they're putting cuffs on her, a woman in charge of our side is whispering in my ear, "Pastor, we got to get these signs here. We got to all these new people coming in. We need those signs. They've confiscated all these signs.
Don't let them take or confiscate the signs."
Yeah, and so that stack of signs right there. Now, how is this ever going to... I mean, what's the odds of this happening? That cop in charge is a great big guy. So they arrested her. I'm having one of my senior moments. She died. I hear a couple.
Yeah,
but,
she did.
Okay, but anyhow...
She was a strong part of the pro-life movement for years after all the lies and deception. I can't think of her name either.
Yeah, we had her out to speaking. Yeah, it's that's what happens when you get our age, I guess. But anyhow, what happened is the guy comes to me, I'm next in line, and he says, "Well, do you want to get arrested too?" I says, "Come to think of it, not really." He said, "Why don't you just get out of here?" I said, "All right, let me grab my signs here, and I will." And I grabbed it. I got all those signs.
Let me get my signs. You got all the signs, picked them up. He sat there and let you get them.
Now, what is the odds of that if God had not intervened in that? Boy, I'm going to tell you. And we had them all out.
They would have taken you and the signs. Yeah, and they didn't ask anybody else. I was in that list, and they just came in and told us that, you know, if you don't, first they gave a warning, if you don't disperse, blah. Then they just came in, started grabbing people, and they didn't ask anybody if they wanted to be arrested. They just started arresting all of us. You were the only one they asked.
Yeah. What are the odds of that? Anyhow, we better get into the description.
You didn't even give me the money for bail.
No. Well, let's tell the folks what that was all about right away. That was... at
Notre Dame
in Indiana, Notre Dame University in Indiana and Catholic, And Joe,
they were giving Barack Obama an honorary PhD, but before he would speak there, he made them cover all the crosses.
Every cross had to be covered. He did not want to see a cross. So now here, the actual Catholics, bishops, the actual Catholic bishops called me, and they said, would you please come and help us? Barack Obama's coming down. Could you bring some of those Baptist preachers and have them come down and preach to our apostate bishops the way you Baptists preach? I said, wait a minute. Let me see if I've got this right, okay?
Yep.
You're a Catholic bishop. Yes, I am. And you're asking me to bring Baptists down there to Notre Dame to preach to the apostate, your apostates out there. They said, that's correct. I said, well, that's kind of a noble thing. Yeah. And I said, well, they need to hear it. We did, and they put us up and everything. I mean, they put us up in a nice place.
We preached.
Yeah.
I remember the funniest part of that whole thing was I got bailed out because I had to help get a couple of my people in my church out because they wouldn't give them their medicines. Anyway, I got out before Dr. Keyes, and I got to speak that night, and I realized this was the first time I got to speak before Alan Keyes. I'd always in the past once or twice gotten to speak after him, which is the most horrible thing in the world to be a speaker. After Dr. Keyes gets done giving a speech, you do not want to have that slot.
I did. I spoke after him. I was the last one.
You did that time, yeah. Well, you know what I'm talking. Normally it was me that got stuck with that. Yeah. Let me just say this.
I don't know. It was late, so I can't say for sure. But I believe I was the last speaker that night. And but anyhow, we got to get into the message. And the message
is Jezebel spirit, then and now, right?
Right. And so we're going to be talking about that now. Do you know what the name Jezebel means? Actually, it's got it's not definitions, but two meanings. And do you know what it is, Joe? I'll bet you don't.
Trying to remember. I know. I think I've heard, but I cannot remember.
Means unexalted, or unhusband. And that's interesting because she had Ahab. But here, as we start tonight, now, Joe, the Jezebel spirit is one of control, one of manipulation. It's one of deceit, it's one of treason, it's one of seduction, and it's one of betrayal, and it's one of whoredom. And here's something else I'll bet you didn't know, that men can have the Jezebel spirit too, and we'll talk more about that. But let's read, starting with chapter 16, verse 29 through 34.
Okay. And in the 38th year of Asa the king of Judah began Ahab, son of Omri, to reign over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal, and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. In his days did Hiel the Bethelite build Jericho. He laid the foundation thereof in Abraham, the firstborn, and set up the gates thereof in his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, son of Nun.
Well, here, Joe, there were 19 kings ahead of Israel, ahead of Ahab, rather. And they were all bad, but at least the They made a profession that they worshipped Jehovah. They all made a profession that they worshipped Jehovah. The six kings, right just directly before him, had the Jehovah was actually symbolized by a calf, Joe. And here, so, but they claimed it was the calf of Jehovah. It was actually Jeroboam's calf is what it was. But anyhow, and so here, out of all of those, Ahab was the worst because Ahab's wife, Jezebel, she broke the mold. She went right out and she came right out in the open. And her approval was not would to not only worship Baal openly, but to corrupt the religion of Jehovah with paganism. That was her goal, was to, and you know how they did that. They've did that with the Moabites. Remember, they would send whorish women, and to corrupt the men. And here exactly what they did, what happened here with Ahab. And so Jezebel was wicked to the core. Now, when I said before that men can have a Jezebel spirit too, okay, but it's kind of like this. You know, did you know that men can have breast cancer too? I didn't know that, but until a few years ago. And here, they can have breast cancer, men can, but compared to women, it's rare, you know, to the amount of you know, breast cancer women have. And it's the same thing here with the Jezebel spirit. Men can have the Jezebel spirit. And if you were to ask me to give you a good example, well, there's plenty. But one, I think, that stands out would be Charles Manson. Charles Manson was, I mean, he was infamous for the Jezebel spirit. That spirit, again, is where it came to the seduction and the manipulation and the control that he had. And this is very, very, very prevalent with the with these women. If you look at, for example, Hillary Clinton, why is it that Merrick Garland and Chris Ray, John Comey, all of these guys, you know, went to the hill to protect her, all of these corrupt judges, everyone went, you know, they were willing to fall on a sword to protect Hillary. What was it that Hillary had on all these people? What was her control? Well, it's the same thing with Jezebel.
She knew all of she got a hold of the Secret Service FBI list of what everybody had done.
Well, not just that, but remember, you had in that Clinton Foundation at one point, they were supposed to have been hit. I read it that they hit $70 billion, okay? But that money was spread out. And she knew who got that money. And the heads of all of these organizations, the IRS, the FBI, the CIA, Hillary made sure everybody got rich. And she knew who they are. That's why she openly come out and openly put acid on the hard drives and smashed the phones with hammers and virtually said, I'm Hillary, and I will break the glass ceiling. And she thought
even before she had all that, didn't she and Bill get a hold of some information they weren't supposed to have of, you know, hidden relationships and different things of alcohol, drug problems? Some of that stuff they got a hold of.
Well, yeah,
so they had some of that stuff.
The FBI, there was like 10,000 FBI files and information that they had, but that they had access to that basically was obtained illegally. But that's the way the Clintons always did things illegally. I mean, look,
right?
When you can stand up, I mean, Hillary can actually say to her people, you know what? Over 100 people that have come in against us have died. Maybe the good Lord took them out, huh?
Yeah, right.
See, Hillary, I mean, and that's what she you know, she, in other words, promoted all this. That's the Jezebel spirit. Now, let's go over to verse 33. And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel than to anger than all the kings that were before him. That grove, what did they do in the grove? They sacrificed.
Sacrificed their children.
Yeah.
They had sexual orgies. They did all kinds of things in the groves.
And they reared up altars of Baal. And they built a house to Baal, Hillary did, or Jezebel did.
Did, yeah.
And then...
it's just funny, that was a Freudian slip, Hillary built, yeah.
Well, you would wonder, I mean, today, when you would think if Hillary and Jezebel...
The foundation, yeah, it's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
If they matched up with the personalities of Bill and Hillary and Ahab and Jezebel, from what we garner from the Bible about their personalities, were identical. I mean, they're so much alike. Now,
yeah, the one, they both were foul-mouthed and profane and loud and screamed and emotional and made threats, and yeah.
And then they both had daughters that turned out to be as wicked as them. Athaliah for Jezebel and Chelsea for Hillary. And I remember hearing Chelsea say that abortion is good for the economy. You can't have too much of it. You can't have too much. I mean, this is wicked. This is wicked to the core, okay? And so here, because, you know, you're either pro-life or you're low-life. That's just a fact. That's just life, right? So here, I think one of the reasons why that it's rare for men to have the complete Jezebel spirit is because of the physical attributes of women. They can be much more seductive than men can, okay? And so, and though they're the weaker vessel, they use that seduction and to manipulate to get the things that they want, okay? You know, I mean, just, you know, that's just by their nature. Now, but verse 34, Joe, read verse 34.
In his days, and in other words, during the days of Ahab, did Hiel, the Bethelite, build Jericho. And he laid the foundation thereof, and Abram, the firstborn, and set up the gates thereof, and his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Joshua, the son of Nun. This was the curse of Joshua, right? Because we were told, he was told never to...
500 years earlier, Joshua, when he tore down the walls of Jericho, when the Lord brought the walls down, Joshua put a curse on anyone that would try to rebuild Jericho.
Right.
And when Hiel did this, what he did to try to overcome the curse, he sacrificed Abraham and Segub, his two sons. He sacrificed them in the gates of the city. Boy, that wasn't very smart, was it?
I cannot understand, you know, something like that. What somebody thought they could gain by sacrificing two sons. I mean, it's just beyond my comprehension.
Well, the idea was the greater the loss, the more probability that their god, Baal, would grant them, would bless their city. And so,
yeah, well, I would rather have my sons in a blessed city. I can't. That's one of those cases where the end doesn't justify the means, you know, doesn't work.
Well, you got to remember something.
It doesn't work that way.
These were the Democrats of that day. These were the Democrats of that day. They're the wickedness. They love death, whether it's by euthanasia, whether it's by abortion, you know, whether it's by vaccines. They love death. This is the whole point of Bill Gates' depopulation program. That's what this whole movement is out there with this climate change. That whole thing is simply about depopulating the planet and controlling those that are left. And hang tight, Joe. We'll be back right after this one more.
Whoa, what is that?
Oh.
Let's follow it.
Ew.
I think I saw it land over here.
Greetings, humans! I have come to your planet to help you. On my world, there is peace, a utopia where everyone gets along. And we want to impart this wisdom onto you.
Sounds great. It'll get us on the right side of history faster. Let's hear it.
To achieve utopia, you must first all agree upon this one simple concept. All lives matter.
What'd you say?
Are you out of your mind?
I'm lost. Why has this upset you?
All lives don't matter. Some lives matter some of the time.
Yeah, some lives matter more than other lives, and that's that.
But we have achieved paradise. I have the proof it works. All lives matter.
Hey, Fritz! Hey, Fritz!
Okay. Let's move on. There is more. The next thing you need to achieve world peace is forgiveness. Forgive those when they fail or screw up.
Screw that. We don't forgive. We cancel.
Yeah! If we discover that someone once said something even the teensiest bit offensive, we as a culture will ruin their lives forever!
That is terrible. A culture of human cancellation?
Ooh, you believe in cancel culture, do ya? It's a myth, dummy!
You don't start watching your mouth. I might have to look through your old tweets, you big dumb alien.
Tweets? What are tweets? Never mind. Let's try something else. A perfect society will only come from individual freedom. It will never come from the government.
Are you nuts? The government better feed me, better educate me, and better house me.
Yeah, and agree with me that men can get pregnant too.
Yeah, I'm pregnant right now.
Our advanced research empirically showed that the human male cannot become a pregnant.
Follow the science!
Yes, the science, that is what I'm saying.
Follow the science!
The science says men cannot become pregnant.
Follow the science!
Shouting, follow the science, does not prove that men can become pregnant. But even if they could, why would you want the government to define that?
Why? So they can force others to believe it too!
Yeah, the government should have the power to force people to believe things as long as I believe them too!
This
yeah.
is irrational, illogical, and will never lead to a utopian society!
Government! Government!
This
government!
Is lunacy! Government! You people are lunatics!
Government! Government! Government!
Hey, you big dumb alien! If your utopia is so great, how often are your major cities burned to the ground?
Never! That never happens!
What?! That means no one's standing up for social justice!
The number one sign of a progressive and healthy society is that they burn their cities down in the name of justice!
Yeah! I tried. It is hopeless. Terminate.
I cannot believe that thing brought a message of peace, love, and unity. What a hateful conservative!
Yeah, you can tell that we're the good guys by all the terrible stuff we do!
Yeah!
All right, what you just heard, folks, was the documentation. That was a space alien talking to a bunch of Democrats. And, well, wherever that city was, the Democrats aren't there anymore. I mean, you know, Joe, that was so lifelike, wasn't it? I mean, think about what that sounded like, but that's the reality. That's exactly what Democrats are all about, isn't it?
I didn't get to hear it. My audio feed wasn't working. Did not hear a bit of it. So.
Oh, did you? You missed the whole thing. It was beautiful.
Yeah,
it was.
I missed the whole thing.
It was funny. Oh boy. Oh well.
I just Norma McCovey.
Yeah, Norma McCurvey. McCovey.
McCovey,
no,
yeah.
McCurvey. I think it was McCurvey. McCurvey. No, Lower McCurvey.
McCovey. No, I looked it up.
Oh, McCovey? Okay.
I did it the hard way. McCovey.
All right.
Yep.
Oh, well. Let's, I got a couple of announcements. I got to make these announcements, Joe.
All right.
This coming Friday, September 29th, at 6:30, We're going to have a tactical civics. Class at our church meeting. Now, folks, Joe, did you know that we are required under the Constitution to have a militia? Did you know that we're required to have a standing militia? Did you know that?
Yes, I knew that. Yes, I did.
And I'll just read it for the folks. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So did you know
infringed.
That it's the militia that is supposed to be the one that enforces our Constitution? Now, a lot of people don't know that. The vast majority of people think what we have out there is the government today, our judicial system. The vast majority of people are totally clueless to how corrupted our judicial system has become today in politics. Well, Joe, there's something really good happening. It's really good happening all across the country now. In 900 counties now, they have chapters of the tactical civics. 900 counties have chapters now. Now, they're teaching them how the citizens, you see, Joe, that's us, you and I, the people listening to us out there, they're citizens, okay? Remember, we, the people, government of the people, by the people, for the people, right? How to form their own grand juries, Joe, how to form their own grand juries, and how to form, first they form the militias, and to enforce the grand jury, the militia will take, and they will bring charges against corrupt government, corrupt prosecutors, corrupt people within the government, and bring them before the grand jury. Now, the grand jury is the highest court in the land, Joe, and that means that the other courts are under the jurisdiction. So if the grand jury brings a charge, see, they've been doing that to us, the very corrupt. George Soros knows about this. The Bible calls them whores, those that are corrupted and have gone out to undermine what God's Word, the Bible teaches, undermine justice. And so George Soros has set out and bought. He's bought a lot of whores. And those whores that he's bought, he made them as attorney generals, AGs, and prosecuting attorneys. He placed them in, they're corrupt as the day is long. Their job is to punish the innocent and to set the guilty free. We've seen that in Los Angeles. We've seen that in New York. We've seen it all around the country. Just completely, completely corrupt people. We see this big fanny woman in Atlanta. We see Bragg in New York. You see these guys that they tried to remove from office out in L.A. Just totally, completely corrupt. We see there in Missouri, in St. Louis, that woman here, that they finally removed her. But all of these Soros bought and paid for put them in office now. And what they've done is they convene corrupt grand juries. These corrupt attorney generals convene corrupt grand juries. Now, we, the people, are going to be in 900 counties now. We, the people, are convening the grand juries, okay? And so going back by the Constitution. And so that class will be at Doers of the Word Baptist Church at 14781. That's 14781 because we're an activist. We're an actual New Testament church. We're not a 501c3 corporation. We're an actual New Testament church, and we will be holding a class there this coming Friday night at 6:30, Lord's willing, at Doers of the Word Baptist Church, 14781 Sperry, S-P-E-R-R-Y Road in Newberry, Ohio. And the zip is 44065. And if you want more information, you can call 440-338-1367. 440-338-1367. Now, this coming Sunday, Joe, national, all across the country, this coming Sunday is National Life Chain. National Life Chain. Now, for the folks in Geauga County and Lake County, they're going to be meeting at in Geauga County at 1:30, at routes 306 and 322. That's Chillicothe Road and Mayfield Road at 1:30 this coming Sunday at routes 306, and that's in Geauga County. In Lake County, I'm not sure on the time, but it's at Route 306 and Route 20. Route 306 and Route 20. For you folks all across the country, this is in your state too. It's this coming Sunday, all nationwide. You'll have to call your local Right to Life chapter, your local Right to Life chapter, to find out where you're going, because there's just too many. There's literally thousands of
right,
and so there's way too many for me to start trying to announce. So. All righty, very good. All right, Joe, I'll let you fire off with the very first article.
Well, I want to, just because of what you just did, there was a study finds, John Anderer, Constitutional Survey, Confusion Survey, reveals Americans woefully uninformed about their own rights. There was a survey by the Annenberg Public Policy Center of the University of Pennsylvania. They did this on Constitution Day, which was September 17th, by the way, and found a significant number of Americans can't even name the three branches of government. 17% of the people surveyed could not identify one branch. 10% could list two, you know, and... 7% could name only one. And then they talked about the rights that are guaranteed by the First Amendment. There are, you know, five of them. And most of the people could only quote one, freedom of speech. They forgot all about right to assembly, petition, freedom of religion, all that. And as I look through this, it's a bunch of statistics, but basically it's pathetic. The people surveyed had little or no understanding at all of our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, anything. And then right along with it, within a day of it, was a story, Real Clear Wire. You won't believe how many Americans can't pass basic civics tests because they don't teach it anymore. And Margaret Spelling was a former Secretary of Education. And anyway, she's writing that the federal government began first years, 1998, the federal government began testing eighth grade students for civics. And it has been going downhill every year from then. Nearly 80% of the students in the survey were not proficient at all. In other words, couldn't get a passing grade in civics at all. So our voting adults don't understand the Bill of Rights, Constitution. Our students aren't being taught civics, can't pass an eighth grade civics test. And that explains why we need those classes that you're talking about being set up, because...
People well, Joe, you've
not know.
You've heard of that fellow called Ben Franklin?
Yeah, I kind of remember old Ben, the oldest member of the Founding Fathers.
Well, here's something he said a long time ago. He said this. He said, "A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know the prize and the rights of which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins." And you see,
which just about what the Bible says too, isn't it?
Yeah, well, this
of men.
Yeah, this poll that they just took proves that the public education system has been proficient, and these colleges, the universities, Yale, Harvard, they've been very proficient, because their goal was to dumb people down. Their goal was to turn people away from God and country and the Constitution and towards communism. So
exactly.
So people keep saying are failing schools, but the public schools aren't failing at all. They've become very proficient in what their goals were. Their goals were to turn people away from the Constitution, away from God and country, and towards communism, the Antichrist world system.
Well, remember Hillary Clinton, that you talked to Jezebel Spirit. Remember this. You did this way back in the 90s. We need a remaking of the American way of politics, government, and life indeed, she said. We no longer see the teaching of facts and information as the primary function of education. Building a new kind of people must be a part of education. Yeah. A remaking of our politics, government, and life. Hillary Clinton.
Hillary also said, Hillary says, parents can't raise a child. It takes a village to raise a child. Now, you know who agrees with her?
Yeah.
Was Governor Newsom of California, because he signs a law requiring parents to show their to show that they will support children's sexual orientation or gender identity. And so the bill, Senate Bill 407, directs the Department of Social Services to amend foster care vetting process to deny a family the right to foster children based on their beliefs about gender theory. State Senator Scott Wiener introduced, the legislation, which he says ensures lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers, foster youth are raised in a supportive environment by creating standard documentation for their needs. Any more follow-up for the Department of Socialist Services require lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers, youths to be specifically considered in at-home assessments, including clarifying that conduct about the that possesses risk to the health and safety of lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queer youth is a valid reason to deny a family the right to host a foster family. And you see, people in California, if they put up with that, they deserve it. What do you think?
Unfortunately, I have to agree with you. When you're stupid and you elect evil, wicked people and you go along with Antichrist system, there's going to be judgment and consequences and punishment, and God made it clear, when you reject him, he will reject your children.
Newsom's got a problem right now because, he's got a son that's been listening to conservative radio, and he's very upset with that, and he wants that censored. He doesn't want his son listening to conservative. He don't think he's got the right, to do that. Okay?
Yeah, he shouldn't have the right.
He wants to cancel. He's going to cancel his son, right?
Yeah. Well, he's got to do something. He's also trying to moderate himself. You just watch. He's going to become more moderate here, as it looks like Joe Biden's going to have to drop out and somebody's going to have to step in. So. Just watch. He's going to kind of try and swing to the middle, or at least fake it. But along with our Bible study, the Jezebel spirit, I want to bring something up that a lot of people don't know. I was doing some reading, and I found way back in the New Yorker magazine, back in early 50s, the author noticed how America's original Barbie doll was based on a German doll that had been made a few years prior, Build Lily. And this doll was not appropriate for children because they said Lily was a sex doll. She was based on a prostitute who had become somewhat famous, wealthy, and fit the Jezebel spirit of seduction, manipulation. And I know you can't see pictures on the radio, but I am looking at pictures of Lily, and it's almost exactly identical to the first Barbie. Now, if you go back in Scripture, we had a goddess known as Ashtaroth, or Ashtoreth, and she was also called in Babylon Ishtar. She was the goddess of sexuality, sexual immorality. Young woman, very independent. She was their pagan fertility goddess. She was depicted taking on traditional roles assumed by men. She was not a goddess of marriage. Her ways were kind of adverse to motherhood. And all of the literature about her was very pornographic. Well, I remember reading about the movie Barbie, and she had a boyfriend, Ken, at her side, while this pagan goddess Ishtar, her boyfriend was called Tammuz. Remember, out of the Bible, Tammuz.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he was always a secondary character to her, the goddess Ishtar. And in the end, Ishtar dominated and subjugated her lover. She even destroys Tammuz, has him killed. Well, in the movie, in the Barbie movie, Ken is vanquished along with, I haven't seen the movie, but from what I read, Ken is kind of vanquished along with other men. So here we have this movie promoting this feminism of kind of women's superiority, anti-really motherhood, marriage, and the ties going back in Scripture to these ancient wicked goddesses. And when we talked about the Jezebel spirit, this movie out there, the Barbie movie, just goes right along with the Jezebel spirit, Pastor Ernie. And I wonder how many people noticed that or thought about it if they saw it, thought something was wrong with the movie. And if you saw the movie and didn't see something wrong in it, there's something very wrong with your perception.
Well, I didn't see the movie, and I don't really care to.
Care to, yeah, I figured you probably did. Neither did I. I just did some reading because so many people were going to see it. I looked at a couple reviews, a Christian review, and went, ooh, this is not good for our children, not good for little girls to see.
And I never had a doll, Joe, and I hope you've never had a doll.
No, I might have had some toy soldiers. I don't know if those were dolls, but I had toy soldiers.
No, toy soldiers are soldiers. They're not dolls. Don't ever call a toy soldier a doll.
No.
Right.
They weren't the same. That's
all right.
As close as I came.
Okay, very good. I'm glad about that. Yes, I am. Anyhow, the fix is in California, Joe. The California city plans to grant illegal immigrants the right to vote. That's right. You know what they do, Joe, with these people are saying, how is it? President Trump was saying today, with these all of these illegal aliens that Biden is bringing in to vote, he's bringing them in, but he's bringing in soldiers. He's bringing in all of these people to getting ready. You know, they want to have this revolution in here, and it could be a bloody one. But anyhow, the interesting thing is when they give them their cell phones, they get their signature. And those signatures end up on phony ballots. You know, who knows how many ballots. I know we've got an article over here that talks about like 35,000 illegal ballots.
Remember Motor Voter? If you get your driver's license, they're letting illegals get driver's license. And when you get a driver's license in several of the liberal states, you're automatically registered to vote.
Oh, yep. Anyhow, so
part of that, cheating to get votes, and that's what the whole idea of flooding the country with illegals is. You promise them that they'll get citizenship or green cards. You make all kinds of promises. You get their vote, and pretty soon you switch the demographics of America so that there'll be far too many Democrats to ever be outvoted. That's what they're trying to do, by elections.
I know. Well, they're
by giveaway.
The Democratic Party is completely and totally corrupted. There's nothing left at all in it that's not corrupted. It's completely and totally corrupted from top to bottom.
The end justifies the means. That's their new model, because if everything I've seen them do in the past 20, 30 years follows that communist motto, the end of what they're doing justifies what it takes to accomplish it. And they don't care who, if they have to lie, steal, cheat, take rights away from people. Which leads me to a story. Right now, we've been talking, we know that several places they've been putting the illegals up in fancy hotels in New York City and other places. They're using hotels, motels, they're giving them food. They're sending their kids to school. They're giving them health care. Businessinsider.com, and there are several other places the story, but I didn't find it on Fox News, by the way. I thought I'd mentioned Fox News didn't think this was worth covering. The Government Accounting, GAO, Government Accountability Office, looked at the military housing and the living conditions for military soldiers. And the new report, they warned it the conditions were filthy. These are for lower-ranking troops. They have been left to deal with pests, sewage overflow, mold. There were problems with ants, spiders, you name it, all, you know, kinds of insects, rats, or even mice. They, one facility, there were some service members had to go clean up biological waste that was left in a barracks room after somebody committed suicide. They didn't even have professionals come in and clean up the waste. They looked at 10 facilities, interviewed 12 different discussion groups, warned about substandard living conditions in these barracks that undermined the readiness. The government said, oh, these facilities all scored above 80 out of 100 by the Defense Department. But the GAO said most of them required significant improvement. I'm looking at pictures of this stuff. It was horrible. There were places where mold all over looked like somebody threw black paint. They talked to people that the living conditions that affected the mental health of troops brought about anxiety attacks, led to substance abuse. They said the Pentagon has not done enough to check in and maintain these barracks. They made 31 recommendations to the Defense Department. I mean, when you have rodents, cockroaches, bed bugs, they said they found several places tap water and the barracks was brown. They didn't even want to test it. It looked so ugly that nobody would drink it. And they said it didn't even appear safe to drink. They didn't even bother to check it. It was so horrible. There were pictures of unchecked sewage that had backed up in bathrooms and showers, water damage. They found problems, the Legionella bacteria in the plumbing. I mean, it just goes, heating, ventilation, heating, and air systems were broken in all 10 facilities. Some had faulty safety systems, broken windows, broken locks, and in two installations, they had squatters living in vacant barracks rooms on a military base. In other words, squatters, people got on a U.S. military base, were living in extra barracks that they had that were not being used. I looked at this, Pastor. I wanted to scream, y'all, we are putting out now, in, you know, billions and billions and billions of dollars to take care of these illegals. But we can't have a decent barracks for our military men and women that risk their life for us, that give their years of their life and service to their country and sometimes go to war and risk death to defend America, and they can't even have a room without...
Thank you, Mr. Austin, and thank you, Millie. Thank you, Austin. Thank you, Millie, the drag queens and all. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come.
This makes it even worse because it's a complete lack.
Fight the fight. Fight the fight. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Amen. Let's come again tonight. Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.